Cornucopia Radio presents.
Hello and welcome to A Little Bit Racy, the improvisation comedy panel show that you just couldn't make up. I'm your host, James Cottle, and if you put on your 3D glasses now, you'll look like a prat. In the show, panelists race against a time limit of just 3 minutes to improvise their way to a destination. They begin from different starting points and must use an assortment of randomly assigned objects, companions, and modes of transport, but they must keep all of them with them when they travel. They must also overcome another panelist, who will improvise obstacles to try and stop them. So, let's meet tonight's panelists. He's been seen out and about with Angelina Jolie, and more recently, her lawyers. It's David Wiley! We begged and begged and begged, but he still came anyway. It's Johnny Sire!
Thank you.
Banksy made me promise not to reveal his secret identity. It's not Daryl Robson. And beating his personal best for most appearances on this show again, it's Tom Harrison.
I tried.
So let's move on to the challenge in round one. Paris Hilton was having a difficult time wondering what new outfit would blow the crowds away at her next catwalk appearance when she heard of a mysterious new design by ever shady designer Grandeur. You've been hired to steal the outfit from his high security vault in the Banque de Toulemont in Paris. So, attempting the challenge first will be David Wiley. Your randomly assigned objects, companions, modes of transport, and starting points are a face painting kit, a complimentary retail assistant, a clown car, and bobbing around in Bombay Bay with bath bombs in India. Good luck to you, David. Now, Johnny, your job is to stop him using your initiative and whatever obstacles you can improvise and throw in his way. So, are you ready, David?
Yes.
Good, let's get this show on the road. Your time starts now.
I'm nice and warm, bobbing around in the bay. Bath bombs are going everywhere. I start with five. That's how many I've got. And they all just dissolve instantly because, you know, it's a bay with water.
Stop. You got the bath bombs from Lush. I believe they do not dissolve instantly. They take a good hour.
Well, I'll leave.
Okay, everything's so lovely.
That's fine. Incentive. I will leave them behind and get out of the bay because I've got a dress to steal, apparently. My complimentary retail assistant has actually heard of this dress. She works in a fashion store, which is handy for me.
What day is it?
Tuesday.
Oh, that's okay. She will be working.
Yeah, exactly. Her shift doesn't start until later.
So this is on the books. This is just a favour at this point in time.
Yeah, exactly.
She's really complimentary. Carry on.
It's not part of her job to come to India to bob around in Bombay Bay with me, James. Come on. And the clown car, I pull it out of the water with some help from Sharon. That's the complimentary retail assistant. And we start driving across India on top of the clown car because there are too many clowns in there at the moment. My face painting kit comes with a cover. That's why it's not all wet and destroyed, which is handy for me.
Nice.
And I can't think of a way to use it yet. So we're going to keep going across India.
Clowns discover that you are not actually a clown. What do you do?
I put the face paint on.
Knock it right out the park. And, brilliant.
And because Sharon works in retail, she manages to make a very convincing clown on my face. And then she asked me to do one on hers, and it's not as convincing. But the clowns don't mind because I'm such a convincing clown that it makes up for her lack of a decent face. That sounded horrible. So we keep going across India. We're still going across India. That's terrible. We're going to China and then further west. Keep going, and it's a direct route to Paris, actually. That's quite nice. I don't have to go over any water. We're going to keep driving and driving and driving.
The car runs out of petrol.
That's inevitable, actually. Fair enough.
It's powered by laughs.
No, it's not, James.
I don't know how clown cars work.
It's powered by petrol. If you want it to be powered by laughs, I think we've got enough so far to keep us going. So it's up to you.
Well, I don't know.
Stop at a petrol station and fill up. I work at a petrol station, so I know how that works. That's nice and easy.
Yeah, are you in China by now?
No, I think we got past China.
Two.
Romania, well done.
Thank you. Yeah.
Struggling to name a country, that's terrible. Yeah, I'm in a Romanian petrol station.
Okay, which is currently being sieged
by
the surrounding countries.
1 minute left.
Okay. That's pretty bad. So, well, no one's paying any attention, so we can just get the fuel and drive off. I'm going to leave them to be seized. I've got a dress to steal. Come on. Got to get my priorities straight here, Johnny. That's how I go. So we keep driving off across Romania now, heading into more heard of parts of Europe.
It rains and all your clown makeup comes off.
As well as all the clown makeup of the clowns in the clown car.
So they're suitably normal people now.
Yeah, exactly. It all washes off and we've just got like a horde of us going along.
The problem is, if they're no longer clowns, they can't fit into the clown car.
The clown car, well, the clown car like splits in two from the pressure and we've got two halves of a clown car. We have to push it along because obviously it's not going to drive anymore. But we've got enough people to push the car along. And I also tempt them with the nice smell of bath bombs.
So you did take some?
No. I think because they're manufactured in Lush, they stick to me like bleh.
10 seconds left.
And keep going. We eventually manage to reach Paris in two halves of a car, and I break into the bank vault using makeup to make me look like a security guard.
Very nice. Well done, David Wiley. Excellent work there. Now we are moving on to Johnny. You're going to be attempting this challenge with your object, companion, mode of transport, and starting points. And they are, your object is a tray of nibbles. Nicki Minaj is your companion. Your mode of transport is a stretcher being carried by two St. John's Ambulance volunteers. And your starting point is standing precariously on a very thin layer of ice in the middle of Lake Michigan, United States. Are you feeling confident, Johnny?
Yes.
Evidently. David, your job is to stop him using your initiative and whatever obstacles you can improvise in his way. Best of luck to you, Johnny. Your time starts now.
Okay, so I am on the middle of the ice in Lake Michigan in the US. Nicki Minaj has so much Botox within her, I use her as a flotation device to get off this lake, just in case. I'm scribbling to the side and we eventually walk across the lake. We are... now on dry land, which is very useful. Nicki Minaj is quite because all her makeup has run off.
It's a recurring theme in this episode so far. Nicki Minaj makes a grab for the nibbles, but accidentally knocks them over, spraying them everywhere, and you've got to keep all of them with you.
Okay, so I force her to pick them up using the two St. John's Ambulance volunteers that I have with me as well.
What, like chopsticks? Or
no, with their hands. They use their hands. They just scoop them up. It's ice. It's very easily. They put them back into the bowl, and we carry on. We all get on top of the stretcher that the two St. John's Ambulance people have, and they push us along all the way to the coast.
Okay, they're going to get tired after a while. You're going to have to, like, feed them.
That's okay. We feed them the nibbles as we go along. Technically, that is still with us because I believe...
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's fine.
Hours,
yeah. I'm happy with that.
...to get to the
that.
Coast, and they haven't pooped it out.
Yeah.
So that's
as long
okay.
as they don't defecate, it's okay.
Well, if they do defecate, we'll keep that with us as well, just to keep the theme going. We have a very long stretcher, and they are prepared for this type of emergency, I believe. We make our way to the coast, and we get all the way into one of the... let's call it eastern places. New York. We make our way to New York.
New York, okay.
We get to New York and we get to a nice stretch of water that is there. Again, Nicki
Minaj.
Right,
Michael Bay shooting a new film there and everything's blowing up around you.
Which is a tragedy.
Yeah, I realise that. It's terrible.
But it's okay because we are not famous except for Nicki Minaj. She distracts the crowds that are around. We sneak away.
How does she distract the crowds exactly?
With her enormous face. Most people will look at her when you walk past fair. With
easily
Nicki Minaj.
In New York, easily pleased.
They are. So eventually we get so far and then we say, Nicki, come on, we need to go. She says, okay, because she's under contract with us anyway.
Oh, that's fair.
No, it's very convenient for such a scenario.
The racy bylaws.
Yeah.
She needs us. We have made it to the water, of course, so we are using the stretcher and Nicki Minaj as a flotation device. We put her on her back because her arse is that big. It actually makes the stretcher float across the sea. The two people at the back
1 minute
are
left.
Pedaling, our two St. John's Ambulance people.
They're really, really tired now. I mean, I know you fed them nibbles, but that's not really enough to...
They are, but
they're going to need to, like, sleep or something.
No, working for the NHS, they work 24 hours a day for very few low pay. So they're happy to keep doing this.
More than happy to help.
More than happy. We've got this huge tray of nibbles, don't forget, which is... equivalent to any currency in the world.
Everyone understands the language of food, right?
Exactly, exactly. They go at an enormous speed and make it across the Atlantic.
Enormous speed.
Enormous speed. They make it across the Atlantic, skipping out the UK.
Skipping out the UK.
Well, because they like to. Yeah, and they make it into France. They get to the borders. And
10 seconds left.
And they all have their passports, of course, so that's quite fine. We run as fast as we can into Paris. And Nicki Minaj actually steals the dress at the end of the day.
Wonderful. Johnny Sire. Excellent work there from our first pair. We are now going to move on to our second pair. Attempting the challenge next will be Daryl. Your randomly assigned objects, companions, modes of transport, and starting points are... the world's largest stamp. Your companion is Usain Bolt. Your mode of transport is a caber tosser. And your starting point is being chased by cannibals in the Amazon rainforest. Very exciting stuff. And Tom, you're trying to stop him along with the cannibals. So, you know, form an alliance, I suggest. Yeah. Best of luck to you, Daryl. Your time starts now.
Well, good thing is, we've got all this stuff, there's loads of stuff, but the good thing is we've got a running jump of this, because we're already being chased, we're already on the run, that's good. So we can assume, you know, the cannibals generally populate the eastern seaboard of Brazil, in the rainforest, so that's...
I can jump to that assumption, yeah.
Excellent,
yeah.
Thank you very much. Good. And obviously, there's a lot of sand there, we can just launch from anywhere, you don't need a jetty or anything like that, because, quite frankly, I've got the world's largest stamp. So there's no reason that isn't so big it's buoyant. So so we can get on there, the eastern seaboard, get on there. We can get on the largest stamp and we can just float. But we've got a problem already.
Oh, well, you've done my job for me.
I know. And I've just realised this, that we've got to get Fraser, that's the caber toss guy. I've named him already.
Yeah.
And also Usain Bolt on there at the same time.
Yeah.
So it is pretty large stamp as far as they go.
Yeah.
You agree?
Yeah, it's a huge stamp. It's the world's largest stamp.
Exactly. It's got a commemorative picture of Churchill on the front as well.
It's massive, bigger than life-size Churchill.
Exactly. Yeah. But obviously we can float across.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's any way we can land in Paris or France.
No,
or,
it's a long journey.
Exactly. Yeah. There's no way. So I think the best port call is obviously we come just entirely into the North Atlantic, go straight across.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Gibraltar.
Gibraltar.
Right?
Interesting.
There's only one way Usain Bolt and Fraser, the cable tossing guy, are going to land anywhere, obviously. Gibraltar's obviously...
Yeah. Little do you know, though, like, to be fair, so far it's all gone pretty well because, like... he's done more criticising of his own plan than I have, and I've become a cannibal king, so like, this is actually working fairly well. So we're chasing you down by sea in a repurposed ferry, not canoes. It's a very offensive thing to assume that we're just automatically going to use like sampans and canoes. No, we modernised in the cannibal industry.
I never said anything.
We saute our victims now. No big pots or anything. Sashimi, we can do it all.
Flambéed Bolt. Like anyway, we're supposed to be racing.
I'm
just discussed culinary tactics of fucking people. This is a race. We're going to get a dress from Paris.
Little bit anthropology.
Exactly. So I'm thinking we get to Gibraltar. That's the only place you're going to get a Jamaican guy and a Scottish guy into one border. So obviously, they're slack as anything over there, let anybody in. Right? But the only way we're going to get through was we've got to go through Spain. That's the only way, right? So I'm thinking, the only way we're going to go over those mountains, that bridge between Spain and France. I don't know, maybe if we roll the stamp up with me and Usain inside. I've got a bad idea. Leave Usain out. Roll the stamp up with me inside.
Yeah.
Get Fraser. He can caber toss me straight on the mountains.
You are now irreversibly stuck to the stamp.
1 minute left.
That's a good thing and a bad thing. But luckily, as it lands, I do land horizontally on the other side of the mountains, and on the roll down, all the sticky stuff comes off, you know, eventually by the bottom of the mountain, which does leave a massive mess. It's all over.
How is Fraser going to catch up with you?
Good question. Little did you know, Usain Bolt actually holds the world record as well for piggyback racing. Yes?
Yep. I can believe
so. 9.58 seconds, I think, was to 200 metres.
How far?
Yep. Exactly, there you go. Yeah. So he's got the world record in piggyback racing, and he's actually beats me. To Paris, which is handy, really, because I'm lugging this great big stamp with me. It's all over the place. It's damp as hell. I don't know what to do with the thing. It's half crumpled at corner, and they'll never fit in a post box. There's never one big enough. That's the problem. But luckily, we get to Paris all right. The border control
10 seconds left.
But hopefully, Fraser's there, because he's going to crack that door open and get that safe. But The only thing is, we hope the dress fits Usain Bolt, because that's the only way we're going to smuggle him out of there.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Well, he's done it in adverts, so brilliant. Joe Robson.
I'm sorry. I was completely disarmed by the giant stamp. I didn't offer enough resistance.
There was plenty from himself. That's fine. Attempting the challenge next is going to be Tom. So your randomly assigned objects, companions, mode of transport, and starting points are a termite-infested nunchuck.
Okay.
You have Professor Brian Cox. Your mode of transport is a conveyor belt from a sushi restaurant. And your starting point is in the middle of a performance on stage at the Sydney Opera House.
Okay.
So, yes, good luck with that. And good luck, Daryl, trying to stop him.
Okay.
Your time, Tom, starts now.
Well, first of all, I nail the part of Jalveur in Les Mis. So, upon rapturous applause as I leave, I get Brian Cox, who I'm actually fairly sure is like a physicist and has little engineering knowledge, but we'll go for the popular culture thing of all scientists are the same. He can rig up the conveyor belt to sort of like laying out piece by piece as we travel along it. Maybe grab a few plates of, you know, something or other on the way. Just a bit hungry.
Just realised though, but by doing that, there's an absolute stack of washing up to do now. Brian Cox eating all that sushi. He's got his bloaters. He's got IBS, right? Not a lot of people know that. And he's got all this washing up to do. What do you do?
Well, first of all, he's like, IBS is one of the unwonders of the solar system. just saying. Just doing a bit of a public service announcement. I guess we'll obviously let him sit it out. I can, you know, I can suck it up. I can do a bit of washing up. I'll just be kind of, as we're travelling, I'll just be scrubbing the plates, just depositing them on doorsteps. Like the most disappointing Christmas fairy. Christmas fairy isn't a real thing, but whatever it is now. Until eventually we reach the sea where I'm going to exploit the termites here. I'm going to breed the termites to the point in which we can craft a raft out of the tiny amount of chitlin. Is that how you say it? Like,
I think so.
Insect shells. and use that to kind of propel us and the conveyor belt. I'm going to keep leading that on a sort of across world journey towards European shores. I'm going to drown so quickly. on a boat made of termites.
Again, you've created your own problems here.
We're really quite going to just self-sacrifice.
Exactly.
1 minute left.
Okay, so we wash up, I'll say Spain. I'm not going to be like, we wash up in France. It's so easy. And reassemble the sort of conveyor belt, which by now, me and my kind of stellar performance is sort of attracted enough celebrity that we have a sort of Forrest Gump-like thing going on where everyone is cheering me on and ignoring the horrific war in Romania, which was established in the last round. So I ride across Iberia on my chariot of sushi. pull into Paris, just sort of like, what's up? You know, you know what I'm here. Oh, maybe I'll even announce what I'm here for. Maybe I've gone so far.
Left.
I've become so theatrical. I'm just wearing a mask, and I'm like the Phantom of the dress stealing thing. arrive there. Turn to Brian. Like, do you happen to know anything about dresses? Because we need to find one.
Very good, Tom Harrison. Very good from both pairs there. We are going to be moving swiftly on to round two in a second. But of course, first, we have to find out our two winners. And those two winners are Johnny and Tom.
Yeah!
Congratulations, but we now move swiftly on to round two. In this round, the winning panelists must improvise their way to a whole new destination. They may use their object, companion, and mode of transport again, but this time they are allowed to dispose of them if they wish. However, the defeated panelists will try and stop them once again, this time using their own object, companion, and mode of transport to improvise obstacles in order to prevent them from becoming the a little bit racy French fashion fiasco foiler. So,
mighty alliteration.
Let's see what the challenge is in round two. With the fabulous dress now in her possession, Paris jets off to New York, the NYC biannual postmodern fashion show, and a small amount of regained stardom. However, you exit the bank just as a mysterious figure walks in. It's grandeur. the designer, who shivers at the thought of his new fabric on the catwalk. Turns out the dress is very photosensitive and will totally disintegrate at the mercy of 500 camera flashes. You can't let such a terrible fate befall Paris, so you rush off to stop her. So, attempting the challenge first will be Johnny, who, just to remind everyone, has with him his tray of nibbles, Nicki Minaj, and his stretcher being carried by the people from St. John's Ambulance. But David Wiley will be trying to stop him, now using his face painting kit, his complimentary retail assistant, and his clown car. Best of luck to you both. Johnny, your time starts now.
Okay, so I have made it to Paris, and it's a lovely, lovely place, quite obviously. But we have to stop these flashes, for the dress will fall apart.
Everyone there is lovely, including my complimentary retail assistant, Sharon, who comes up and compliments you.
Well, lucky for me, she's a very big Nicki Minaj fan, is so many people in the world, I'm sure. You know, and she just kind of wants to...
And overly compliments her to the point where it's actually freaking her out a little bit.
But Nicki Minaj is quite freaky in the first instance. So I think
they get along perfectly.
Exactly, yeah. They are best friends by this point. But we need to get to New York. So we go back the way we came because we already know the route, of course. Which is quite easy.
I don't need a sat-nav. You may know the route, but unfortunately, a blockade has been set up due to an unfortunate clown car that just refuses to move from the middle of the road. And every time a policeman goes up to it, another clown comes out with his hands up, just like, oh, sorry. Then the policeman, like, go try and get into the car to move it, but another clown comes up, oh, sorry.
No, which is fine, because little do you know that Nicki Minaj looks like the queen of all clowns due to the amount of makeup that she has to wear. She simply walks past all their clowns, and they follow her like the dutiful clowns they are. All clowns are now out of the way, and I'm carrying on with my stretcher of
empty clown car.
Yeah, empty clown car, which I will get in.
Oh yeah,
because I've put it back together. I know it was in two halves.
Yeah, it wasn't.
But St. John's Ambulance people are notoriously hardy, and they have all the tools and everything.
What,
they fix
just
the
car. Happen to have a welding iron on them. All
yeah,
the
have
time.
You not seen CSI? They know what they're doing. They fix the clown car, and we go all the way to the coast.
Where my complimentary retail assistant, Sharon, is waiting there to compliment all of you on how beautiful you look. And you're all like, oh, that's really nice, Sharon. Thanks very much. And in the meantime, I've just come and I've cut your brakes lines on the clown car.
Well, that's very harsh. I will get rid of Sharon by giving her my tray of nibbles, for then she must serve people. Because
you know she works in the clothing store. She's not used to serving nibbles, and she like messes it up and gets fired. By no one.
You have ruined her life.
Her life was pretty ruined already. I have enhanced her life, if anything. It's fine. So I still have my stretcher with absolute two St. John's Ambulance peoples with me.
That's fine.
Which floated before, so there's no reason it will not float again.
Mm-hmm. 1 minute left.
As we start going across the coast, they are...
Oh, I'm going to stab your floating thing with a face painting kit. One of the brushes in it puts a hole in it, and it's just like water comes through and you're sinking.
Okay, we're sinking, but these St. John's Ambulance people are muscular men. I'll have you know. They are huge. I simply stand on the back of them both, and they paddle their way across the Atlantic.
Well, so the stretcher's gone. You just
the
like,
stretcher's gone. We don't need the stretcher. Okay. I've got the men. You know, halfway across the ocean, if one happens to leave me, eaten by a whale.
Fair enough.
That's fine.
What happens in the ocean stays in the ocean.
Okay. Nobody knows. I make my way all the way across.
Okay, I'm sort of like holding onto their feet behind them, and like they're pulling me along as well. And I get out the brush again, and this time I use the end to tickle their feet. It's really aggravating.
It is aggravating.
Thrashing around. Like,
it is aggravating, but that only makes them kick faster. We get across the ocean faster. Thank you for this gift.
You're
10
welcome,
seconds
Johnny.
Left.
It's okay. They are going so fast now. They are not worrying about what they have to do in the ocean. It's a very long trip. They just pee as they go along. Make it all the way to New York and get in the way.
Wonderful. Johnny Sy. Getting in the way. Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, now we are moving on to the second pair. Tom is going to be attempting this. And just to remind everyone, he has with him his termite-infested nunchucks crafted into a raft of sorts now. Professor Brian Cox and your sushi conveyor belt. But Daryl is now trying to stop him using his world's largest stamp, Usain Bolt, and his caber tosser named Frazier. So... Best of luck to you, Tom. Your time starts now.
Okay, well, most people just expect me to reuse the raft because it's what I do pretty much in every episode of this. But I'm actually going to strike out on my own now. I'm going to start a transatlantic sushi business. Stretching a conveyor belt like some completely warped Ayn Rand protagonist. So like an Ayn Rand protagonist, I'm going to strive to engineer this great thing that will, you know, bond together stuff and things. So I tell Brian Cox to figure out most of the logistics of that. I just got to sit back for a while, and once he's done, yeah, he thinks we can sort of do subterranean drilling to sort of bring us. Oh yeah.
Well, that's the problem. He started on that. He started thinking. Next thing, camera crews arrived. Oh my God, he's doing another documentary. He's tied into BBC for a good 4 months.
Okay,
now.
I take him aside and I look at him and I to remind him of who he is and how far he's come. I look at him and I say, things can only get better. He was in Dream, that band that New Labour used for a while, in case people didn't get that right. And inspires him back. He brings him back into the fold. He's like, no, BBC can wait. For now, international sushi. So we're sort of laying it. It's actually quite a major undertaking, so it'll probably take me a while to get there, so I've probably already lost the game. But on the other hand, global sushi, you know, I don't play to win, I play to sushi. I like sushi. But so yeah, we're kind of digging it out. Quite a hefty workforce, but with both a famous physicist and someone who, and I'm going to bring it up again, nailed Javert. we kind of, you know, contract out the work, start digging through the thing.
Javert again has had a major crisis of conscience, and he's realised, I ain't digging this for some BBC knob telling me what to do and making documentaries. I'm off on strike and I'm taking this bloke here, Fraser, your best subterranean digger, right? That cable toss was the best work you ever had, and he's gone.
Oh God, all of the collectivist parasite. Oh, I've become Ayn Rand again. Sorry.
1 minute left.
Okay, so I suppose it's time to break out the I didn't want to do it. I'm breaking out the termite raft. I wanted to do this another way. Using the nunchucks, let's say I'm halfway across the Atlantic now. I'm, you know, getting up my rowing eight skills that I never was in a rowing eight, but I've seen enough of it. I think I know the drill. So I probably wash up somewhere around like New Jersey. It's always my tactic to just wash up not in the place that I'm going to, but next to it, because it seems more legit, but it's still kind of cheating. From there, I crawl, seaweed covered, holding mostly eaten nunchucks by now. I sort of cross over through the bridge and tunnel, or bridge or tunnel.
10 seconds left.
And interrupt the fashion show with a great stop. The flash is gonna make the dress disappear. And let's be honest, despite what we deluded ourselves when we were younger, no one wants to see Paris Hilton naked.
Fantastic, Tom Harrison, everyone. Fantastic work there from Tom and, let's say, Johnny as well. Both pairs. Whoa. Oh. I'm kidding. No, it was wonderful stuff. So, the conclusion of tonight's story. You reach the NYC biannual postmodern fashion show just in time as Paris is about to take her walk of triumph and, somewhat out of breath, explain that the dress will disintegrate and leave her naked if she walks out there. Well, she says, that's one way to get famous again. And like many before her, bears all just to spend an extra month in the limelight. And with all that said and done, tonight's winner is Tom Harrison! Oh.
Jolly good show.
Well, that's all we got time for on this show. I'd like to thank panellists David Wiley, Johnny Sire, Daryl Robson, and Tom Harrison. I've been your host, James Cottle, and I would like to redact all of those previous thank yous. See you next time! you enjoyed A Little Bit Racy and would like to find out more, follow us on Twitter at A Little Bit Racy and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/A Little Bit Racy. We'll be right back.